Hi and Merry Christmas. This is Eric Elder broadcasting live from the ranch. I want to encourage you tonight that there are rewards to perseverance. You may be going through some things right now where you're not sure if you can endure, and you're not sure if you want to endure. Well, I want to encourage you that it's worth it to endure. Your endurance is not in vain, and your perseverance will not go without a reward. God will give you two kinds of rewards. One, you'll get rewards here on earth, and two, you'll get rewards in heaven. And thirdly today, I want to tell you how you can persevere. If you'll take a look at your message notes, there is a chapter in Daniel that I'd like you to take a look at. It's in Daniel chapter 2. And if you'll look at the message notes on your screen, you'll be able to read that. I'm going to play a portion of music here, so you'll have plenty of time to read Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 30. And the reason I want to point you to this passage is to show you that Daniel was in a position of life and death. He was in a position where he had to hear from God. If he didn't hear from God, his very life was at stake. And God miraculously and mysteriously came through and spoke to Daniel, and many people were saved through it. Daniel was blessed by it, other people were blessed by it, and Daniel went on to be the second in command over all of that country. So I just want you to read that in Daniel and take a look at the predicament he was in and how God got him out by his perseverance. love that story in Daniel. It is so good when it gets to the part and he has to explain the dream to the king. Here, the king of Babylon has asked him an impossible task. And he says, I want some wise man, some prophet, to tell me what my dream was and then interpret it. And the other wise men and prophets say, there's no one who can do such a thing. But Daniel, when he hears of this decree, he says, I will interpret that for you. And he prays to God and he says, God, show me whether this dream is from you or not and how to interpret it. During the night, it says, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And he praises God. And he said, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. When the king asks Daniel, he says, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And Daniel replies, no wise man can do that. No man on earth can do that. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. And he goes on to say, there is the revealer of mysteries who has shown you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than the other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. And when king hears the interpretation, he says to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. And the king lifted Daniel up, put him in a high position, and lavished many gifts upon him. God used that time of answering Daniel and answering that plea that Daniel said to not only bless Daniel and raise him to a high position, but also to make his name known to the king and to spare the people of Israel as Daniel's life went on to play out and he prayed for other people. And God spared an entire nation through those later prayers. So Daniel very much had a purpose to remain alive, and God kept him alive by revealing the mysteries of heaven to him. You may be in a position where you're saying, God, please come through. I don't know if I can persevere any longer. I just want to tell you it's worth the wait. Let me tell you from my personal experience. I was in Israel one night at the home of a Muslim family, and I was sleeping in that home in a bedroom that had bullet holes in the windows, although they assured me that there hadn't been any violence there recently. And I was sleeping there because God had called me to go to Israel. He called me to quit my job and to go to Israel. And he told me to visit two spots over there. And this was about day 7 or 8 while I was on this trip living with this Muslim family on the West Bank in Israel. And I was starting to become very discouraged and saying, God, why in the world did you call me here? Why is this that I'm here in a dangerous situation, in a dangerous country, and having just left my job? And I said, God, I need you to show up. I need to hear from you. And as I went to bed that night, I read this psalm, Psalm 27:14, and it said, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Be stout and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. And I put my CD Walkman in my ears, and I went to sleep that night listening to praise music and listening to the glories of God and just saying, God, I am waiting for you. I am expecting you. I am hoping for you, Lord, to show up. And that next day, God answered one of my significant prayers, which was to bring someone there to anoint me with oil for the purpose that God had called me into ministry. And I had no idea how God was going to answer that. But that next day, after I prayed this and after I read this psalm that said it was worth it to wait for the Lord and expect the Lord, that next day I got up and I went to the Temple Mount where the temple that Solomon built was located. And right there, a man from Kentucky showed up and he started talking to me about praying for the sick and asked if I ever had luck using anointing oil to pray for the sick. And I said, do you do that? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, boy, I have just been praying that God would send someone to anoint me with oil for the purpose that he's called me to. And that man and I walked for the next couple hours down the Via Della Rosa, which was the way of the cross, the way that Jesus went. And at the crucifixion site, That man anointed me, he put oil on my head and said, I commission you and send you out in the name of Jesus to do the purpose for which he's called you. And that day God spoke to me and said, Eric, this is why I brought you to Israel. I brought you to the place where Jesus died so that I could now send you out into the world and gather my people and help bring my people back in to the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven one day when Jesus returns. And it all happened the night after I read that scripture in Psalms. It says, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. So I'm going to pray later in the night that you'll have the strength and the courage and the enduring heart to wait for the Lord as well. Part of our faith is believing that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews that without this kind of faith, it is impossible to please God. Look at Hebrews 11:6. We must believe that God exists, and we must believe that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. This is what the Bible tells us, that we must believe not only that He exists, but that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. If you are earnestly seeking God, I can assure you, based on my experience, but even more so based on the Word of God, that He will reward you. If you earnestly seek Him, He will reward you. Now that reward may come here on the earth, or it may come in heaven. Either way, you will get your reward. I got a letter a few years ago from a very famous author. He's written many books, more books than anyone else in America, in fact, and he had written a letter to some of his supporters, and I happened to be on his mailing list. And he was not a Christian. He believed in things that were not of God, and he started his letter like this. You'll get your reward in heaven, he put that in quotes, then he followed it with this. We've all heard that empty promise before. Here's a man, very intelligent, very smart, writer of many, many books, and yet he called what Jesus said an empty promise. Now, many people believe that Jesus is a good man. Many people believe that he's a moral teacher. I don't know many people who have called Jesus a liar. Not outright like that. Yet he called Jesus a liar by saying that that was an empty promise, that you'll get your reward in heaven. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Many places in Scripture, God speaks about the rewards we will get in heaven. Jesus himself, many places, speaks about the rewards that we will get in heaven when we earnestly seek God, when we seek to do his work. We will get rewards here on earth. It says in this age and in the age to come we will be rewarded. But they're not always in this age, and you may be discouraged, just like John the Baptist was. After he had baptized many, many people in the name of Jesus, after he had baptized many people to repent from their sins, he was in prison, and he asked this question. He said, Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we wait for someone else? He got discouraged towards the end of his life, and eventually he was beheaded. And yet Jesus said about him, greater man has not walked on the earth than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist will get his reward in heaven. We can be assured of that. Paul, here's some of the rewards he got on earth. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated and we are homeless. But Paul left a legacy to all of us by writing much of the New Testament. In fact, words in the book of Romans that inspired me to have a faith in God 2,000 years later. Paul finished the race well and he is getting his reward in heaven. Jesus himself died on a cross, died a gruesome death while he was here on earth, but he was raised to the right hand of God and was given all authority over heaven and earth. Even if we don't get our reward in heaven, in earth, which I believe we do get rewards on earth, and I believe many of these people I even mentioned saw much of their reward on earth, there is an even greater reward waiting for us in heaven. It's no empty promise. Jesus himself promised us that great is your reward in heaven. Now these are the rewards just for you. And I said tonight I'd talk about two kinds of rewards. One was rewards for you, and the other was rewards for others. Here's how the reward system works. We get rewards just by carrying out God's commands, but God gets rewards because other people are born as fruits from our lives. Good fruit comes from disciples of Jesus. And that is the reward. It's a blessing to others as well as to us when we do what God tells us to do. Look in John 15:8. This is why he chose us, it says, to bear fruit. Jesus says this, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And again, John 15, verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name." See how God blessed people through Daniel? God not only saved Daniel's life and elevated him to a high position, but he also saved an entire people. He saved all the other prophets' lives as well, as a nation of Israel. In the same way, he did this for David. When David fought against Goliath, God saved David by letting David throw one stone and it killed Goliath on the spot. But also, God made his name known throughout that entire part of the world, and he also raised David up to be king of one of the greatest nations that ever ruled on the earth, and they were victorious, all those people, over many other nations. God not only saved David, but he saved an entire group of people through David. Jonah the same way. God saved him out of the mouth of the whale, and as Jonah went and did what God told him to do, he saved 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh by preaching to them that they needed to repent and receive what God had offered them, which was their very lives back. Paul, the same way. He was crucified, they say in the history books, upside down. And yet, much of the New Testament was written by him, and I am one of Paul's fruit. I am fruit from what Paul had done when he was here on the earth. God not only saved Paul's life when he was in a bad state himself, he saved Paul's life and he called him to a purpose, and he called him to a purpose which was to bear fruit, and that fruit has changed many people's lives throughout the history. So God not only rewards you when you do what he asks you to do, but he also rewards others, and you yourself are a reward to God. The question is how to persevere. You want to persevere. You know it's good. You know it's good for you here on earth and in heaven, and you also know it's good for others if you persevere. But how do we do it? How can we get the strength that we need to persevere? John 15 tells us, remain in Christ, abide in Christ, dwell in Christ. Here's what it says in John 15, verse 4 through 5. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in the vine, and God will give you the strength to persevere. It's just like that vine is growing up. Jesus is the vine, and we are these branches off of it. And as we stay in the vine, we get strength, we get nourishment, we get encouragement from Jesus, the giver of life. And if we distance ourselves from the vine, we will find ourselves fading and weak. But as we come back and remain in the vine, stick with Jesus, hang on to Jesus, cling to Jesus, we will bear much fruit. In a newer translation of the Bible called The Message, this is how this passage reads. And just take this to heart. This is what God wants you to do. This is what Jesus is calling you to do. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. This is the way to persevere. This is the way to get your strength. Come back to Jesus. Hang on to Jesus. Cling to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I want to say a prayer for you if you are eager to remain in Christ. I also want to conclude with a story that if you don't know Christ, I pray would just make it very clear to you how important it is to cling to Jesus and to come to Jesus. And I just want to take a minute to just let you pray on your own and look over these scriptures on your message notes, and also just ask God to open your hearts. While I play a song, I just want you to say, God, help me to persevere. Give me the strength. And when we come back after this short song, I will pray with you and I will ask God to come through on your behalf, and I'll share with you a touching story that I don't think you want to miss. I received this story on the internet this week, and let me just share it with you. We watched last night a Christmas program at a church, and there was a particular scene that touched me as God spoke to Joseph while he was doubting and wondering whether he should divorce Mary. Are we back then? I don't know. And while he was in his dilemma of wondering, we saw a touching scene last night when God was speaking to Joseph as Joseph was doubting whether Mary's child really was from God. And he was considering divorcing her. And as he pondered this and debated over this and wondered how Mary could possibly do this to him, he fell asleep. And the angel of God spoke to him and said, Joseph, this is what is right. This is from God. And Mary's going to bear a child, and you're going to give him the name Jesus. Joseph woke up and did what God called him to do. It was revelatory to me just that God would speak in a dream like that. He would speak the very name of Jesus in a dream. That is what Joseph needed to hear right then. Joseph needed a word from God. He was torn apart in his heart. He was torn apart over what was going on. And he didn't know what to do, and he came to God and pleaded out to God, and God said, Joseph, this is absolutely from me, and here's what I want you to do. I pray that God will do the same for you. Here's a story called The Painting. Once there was a father and son who were very close and enjoyed adding valuable art pieces to their collection. Priceless works by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet, and others adorned the walls of their family estate. The widowed elder man looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. The son's trained eye and sharp business mind caused his father to beam with pride as they dealt with art collectors around the world. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His beloved son was missing in action. The art collector anxiously awaited more news, fearing he would never see his son again. Within days, his fears were confirmed. The young man had died while rushing a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holiday with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season, a season that he and his son had so looked forward to, would visit his house no longer. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. As he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art on the walls only reminded him that his son was not coming home. As he opened the door, a soldier greeted him with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself to the man by saying, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." As the two began to talk, the soldier told of how the man's son had told every one of his, not to mention his father's, love of fine art. "I am an artist," said the soldier, "and I want to give you this." As the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it the work of a genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the painting above the fireplace. A few hours later, after the soldier had departed, the old man set about his task. True to his word, the painting went above the fireplace, pushing aside thousands of dollars of paintings. And then the man sat in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift he had been given. During the days and weeks that followed, the man realized that even though his son was no longer with him, the boy's life would live on because of those he had touched. He would soon learn that his son had rescued dozens of wounded soldiers before a bullet stilled his caring heart. As the stories of his son's gallantry continued to reach him, fatherly pride and satisfaction began to ease the grief. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any interest in the pieces for which museums around the world clamored. He told his neighbors it was the greatest gift he had ever received. The following spring, the old man became ill and passed away. The art world was full of anticipation, unmindful of the story of the man's only son, but in his honor, those paintings would be sold at an auction. According to the will of the old man, all the works of art would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received his greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled this day, greatness would be achieved, as many would claim, "I have the greatest collection." The auction began with a painting that was not on any museum's list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100?" he asked. Minutes passed. No one spoke. From the back of the room came, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a painting of his son. Let's forget it and go on to the good stuff." More voices echoed in agreement. "No, we have to sell this one first," replied the auctioneer. "Now, who will take the son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke. "Will you take $10 for the painting? That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. I have $10. "Will anyone go higher?" called the auctioneer. After more silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone." The gavel fell, cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, "Now we can get on with it, and we can bid on those treasures." The auctioneer looked at the audience and announced the auction was over. Stunned disbelief quieted the room. Someone spoke up and asked, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of some old guy's son. What about all these paintings? There are millions of dollars of art here. I demand that you explain what's going on here." The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all." And because of God's love for us, whoever takes his son, Jesus Christ, gets it all. See, when you believe in Jesus, when you cling to the vine, the true source of life, You get it all. You get life abundance. You get a purpose in your life, and you get fruit bearing from your life, just as he said his disciples would bear fruit. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you don't know Jesus, you'll have no reward. In fact, you'll get what you deserve, which is eternity in hell and separated from God, because we've all sinned, and the punishment for sin is death. I don't like that. I don't like that any more than you like that. And yet that's the fact. We've all sinned, and our punishment is death. But thanks to God, who sent his son Jesus to die for us, and he said, if you'll believe in my son, then I will give you life abundant here on earth, and I will give you heaven as well. So we can have it all, but first we have to believe in Jesus. I want to pray right now for you and for also those who are persevering, who are believing in Christ, that you would have the assurance that God will reward you. For that's the faith that pleases God. Let's pray. Lord, for anyone who doesn't know you yet, who hasn't committed their life to you, who hasn't clung to you, I just pray that they would do that right now. They would repent of their sin, confess that, and say they're sorry, and simply invite Jesus into their heart and to be the Lord of their life. Lord, for those who are struggling with perseverance, who wonder if they can make it and wonder if they even want to make it, I pray you would give them life and life abundant. I pray you would convince them of the rewards both here on earth and in heaven that Jesus promised those who believe in him, those who cling to him, and those who follow him. Lord, I pray you would reveal your mysteries to some people, even tonight in their dreams. Lord, I pray you would reveal mysteries to them so that they can save their lives and the lives of others. Reveal mysteries to them so they can know what to do with their life next. Reveal mysteries to them, God, that they can know the deep things of you. Lord, I pray you'd instill in them a purpose, a direction, a drive, a strength, and a confidence so they can finish well. Just like Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I just pray that these people would also be able to fight the good fight, that you would help me and Lana as we sit here, that you would help us to have strength to fight the good fight that you've called us to. For Lord, we want to finish well. We want to persevere. God, we don't do it just for the rewards because we know that we just do it out of obedience to you, and you've done so much for us that this is a very little thing we could do for you. But God, we just thank you that you promise us that there are rewards as well, and that it's worth the fight, it's worth the battle, and it's worth standing firm. I thank you for all this, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'd like to talk further, we can talk right after this broadcast on the chat room at the ranch. Just go to the spot that says talk to someone and click on the chat room, and you'll be able to chat with myself and a few others who are interested in hearing what's going on in your life, and we can talk about this a little more. And we'll be glad to pray with you personally over the things that are going on in your life. If you are watching this later, you can find me by email at pokey@theranch.org, or you can find me on ICQ, and the information on how to find me throughout the day is also on the Talk to Someone page. I would really be glad to talk to you. I'd be glad to pray with you and encourage you in your faith, because God's called me to help people persevere in their faith so that we can finish well. Thanks for coming. I hope you'll join me another time. Hope you have a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas, and that Christ would be central in everything you do. Join us next week, live from the ranch.